Find your place there, Matthew chapter 6. I'll be begin reading here in verse number 9. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we are just rejoicing in this Wednesday night service that we can come together and just without any concern about a persecution tonight. Lord, we think about some of our brethren over in Asia, some in North Africa, some over in European countries. And Father, I think of those in the Middle East, our brethren that are meeting perhaps together on this day, but they are meeting with the concern that their lives could be taken because of them having Bibles and them meeting together to worship Jesus Christ. And Lord, we don't quite understand that because we haven't experienced it to that level. But Lord, we do want to say thank you for the freedom we have tonight. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us not to take it for granted. Lord, help us to appreciate the freedom we have and not let it go to waste. But Lord, may it propel us forward with the power of God. And even tonight, Lord, may we worship in spirit and in truth. I thank you for all those that have come out tonight. We think of all our Master Club kids that have come in. We pray for them, pray for our teachers and the leaders there. And again, Lord, we just pray that you'd bless the prayer time coming up. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, does everyone have a handout? Does anyone do not have a handout? We do have some. Do we have extras, Brad? Okay, we have several up here, Brad. If you could hand those out real quick. And if you don't have a handout, raise your hand real quick. We'll make sure you get one. Matthew 6:13 is where we'll be. Keep your hand up. If you don't have a handout, we'll get you one so you can fill those blanks in and just sort of follow along with our study here. This is what many consider the doxology of this model prayer. And I believe that's very appropriate to title it that. And it's interesting how this model prayer begins and ends with praise. Isn't that a blessing, church? I don't know what you're going through today, but can I tell you something that will help you tremendously? Just start praising God. If you've had a bad day, just start praising the Lord. If you're afraid for someone to hear your voice, then just praise Him on the inside. Amen? But just, you need to lift your heart up to the Lord and praise anytime we pray. And we'll talk about that. I think that's a good reminder. Church, that anytime we pray, is that sometimes it's, you know, if it's urgent or something, we understand that. But as a practice, you know, we ought to begin with praise and we ought to end with praise. I believe the Lord is worthy, don't you think? And just to share with Him our heart of gratitude. Now, this you will not find this portion in the account in Luke. Now, that is the other parallel passage. It's not in the other Gospels. And this part is not in Luke. Not that there's a mistake here. Now, there are some versions that do not have this part. Now, I believe that is a wrong omission. I believe it is there. I believe this is the Word of God. And some would say, well, why was it in Luke? Well, anybody that studies the harmony of the Gospels will notice very quickly that some writers wrote about some things that others did not. It doesn't mean that it's incorrect, but it's very much correct and it's very important. And this is why, because I believe it's in context. And also there's a belief out there that the older manuscripts are more accurate. Well, I don't believe that. I don't follow that philosophy as well, because I do believe that manuscripts were copied through the years and preserved by God's hand. But nevertheless, I think it's very interesting of the context of this doxology because of the focus of why we pray. Now, you'll notice as you study this chapter, beginning in verse 1, we're not going to do it for sake of time, but you will notice very quickly what Jesus was truly targeting in this matter of prayer. You know who he was targeting? He was teaching the disciples to pray. There's no doubt about that. That is so obvious. But before he got to this model prayer, do you know who he was targeting? He was targeting the religious crowd called the Pharisees. And they prayed for self-glorification. They prayed in such a way that they would get the glory and that they would get the attention. And Jesus is targeting even them in the beginning parts, and he's dealing with that, as you see there in verse number 5. And he goes on to explain. But what was it? It was misguided prayers. And I believe that when we get to the end of verse 13, Jesus is summing it up and saying, now I've taught you what to pray for. I've taught you about the petitions. Now, disciples, children of God, I'm going to tell you why you have prayed what you have prayed. And that brings us to our verse here. For thine is the first word we see. That's an old English word for yours. Okay, so for thine is in the blanks there. Number one, you'll see in your handout, every prayer, or you could put petition there. Every prayer or petition uttered by the child of God is based upon this one great fact. It's all about God. That will help us, church. Yes, God gives us the liberty to pray for our needs, but do you know by Him meeting our needs, the ultimate purpose by Him meeting our needs is that He might be glorified. It's all about God. And Jesus is going to teach us that it's all about His glory, and He'll be getting to that even more in depth here in just a moment. It will help us to realize that while we praise Him, and why we glorify Him, and why we ask for Him to meet these needs, because it's all about Him. The Pharisees did not think that way. They pretended. They had a show. They like for people to see them pray. They like for people to hear them pray. They like to see them, for people to see them fast, and they like to do it for show. And it was for the wrong reasons. But we see here that every prayer uttered by the child of God is based upon the very fact that it's all about our Lord. Number two here, he goes and he says in verse number 13, he says, for thine is, now this is the first of three that aspects of that he will mention in how we pray for the glory of God. Number one is the kingdom. Now, the kingdom, we've already talked about earlier in the passage. Now, this simply means that God is the sovereign, or you could write supreme, sovereign ruler of the universe, and will always have the last word. That is exactly what I believe Jesus is teaching, that when we do pray, let's remember, church, God is in control. And with us sitting here pretty comfortably in this beautiful sanctuary tonight, it is a little easier for us to agree to that. And that's good. We should agree with all times. But I'll tell you where it gets a little bit more difficult. It gets a little more difficult like I saw just an hour and a half ago, as I sat in the hospital room across from a man who is going through extreme suffering. Ellen Griggs' son-in-law, Carter, he's got a disease and that it's causing a great deal of pain, and they have no idea what it is. No idea. They're trying to run tests, but he could just barely open his eyes. He could barely talk. But yet, he allowed me to pray with him and he thanked me. And it's those times, church, that we need to realize that God, even though as difficult it is, folks, God is still in control. And I believe as we pray that, that's what brings glory to God, because God can look down on us and say, hey, they have an understanding. It is all about me. It is all about my holiness and my greatness and my glory. And they trust me and they put their faith in me. That's not natural, of course, to the human nature. But those that have Christ look at Him as the sovereign ruler of the universe. We don't understand, but we know that God will have the last word. We're not going to go there, but you may look in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. Nebuchadnezzar learned the hard way, didn't he? He thought he had things under control, and he was, hey, let's just give it to him. He was one of the most powerful kings that's ever been on the face of this earth. And the power he had, and he was pretty confident. But God had to humble him and show him that no, you're not in control. I'm in control. And I'll use you for my purpose, even in your wicked ways. If you want to be wicked, I don't want you to be wicked. But if you're going to be wicked, I'll use your little wicked ways and you'll suffer through it. I'll humble you and I will be exalted. I never will forget the quote that I heard, and it's helped me a lot. And I like to go with plan A instead of plan B. Plan A is you can either give God glory willingly, or God will extract it from you painfully. And church, I think we always ought to take plan A. Amen. That's the wise way to go, saying, Lord, I don't want to have to go through you extracting things from my life painfully, because I know, God, you're going to get glory either way. That's no question. That's because He's sovereign and He can. But then thirdly, not only the kingdom, as we pray and as we think about our God and ruler, but number three, look there, the power. Our prayers are brought to pass by the mighty power of God. The mighty power of God. Can somebody read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 for me? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. As we pray, we must remember the power of prayer. Anybody get that yet? Like to read that for me? Yes, Kathy? Okay, it's according to the power, that is the power of God working in us. So as we are praying, and the reason we can pray with power is because God's power is working through us. I was talking to Colton the other day. He went dove hunting. Did anybody else get a chance to go dove hunting opening season? Anybody else in here? I used to love going dove hunting with my dad. Hardly shot any birds, but it was still fun to shoot the shotgun a lot and miss a lot. And it was a lot of fun. But one of those things you notice real quickly is you whether you got a 12-gauge pump or a 20-gauge or whatever it may be, you put your shells in and you get ready for those birds to come. And buddy, on those first couple shoots, you feel the power that's from those shells in that 12-gauge shotgun, packed with powder. And by the end of the day, depending on how many shells you have shot, you're going to probably have a sore shoulder. There's a lot of power in that shell. But what happens? What ignites that power is a little pin. All right, that when you pull the trigger, that little metal pin goes right into that shell and ignites that gunpowder. And boy, those little pellets go out of there. And man, there's probably just dozens of these little pellets that go out. And I don't know how I miss birds when that many pellets are going out. But it happens, okay? I'll tell you a quick story, too, and it'll be quick, I promise. But that was one of the first things that I got really humbled. I call it maybe my first date with Joanna. And I'm almost a little embarrassed to tell this. We went skeet shooting. And I was having a hard time hitting the clay pigeons, okay? And I was like, well, as long as she doesn't hit anything, we'll be all right. I think she hit every one of them. That was humbling. She did a great job. And I was thinking, how in the world can this happen? Well, and I had a buddy at Bible college. He was such a comfort. And he said, "You did what?" Yeah, real good friends. Let the girl outshoot you. But anyway, we know that there's power in those shells because why? That gunpowder in there. I want to tell you something, church. You know this. We know this in our minds. But can I tell you, as we are praying what Jesus has told us to pray, and as we are praying for God's glory, I'm telling you, there's power in that. Things get done as we pray according to the will of God, as Jesus tells us to pray. There's power. We've seen it in our own lives. We've seen it in this church. And I'm praying that we will see more of it. Amen? That is the power of God. There are many other verses we could go to. The kingdom, the power, and then number four, the glory. That is the ultimate purpose of every prayer. The ultimate purpose of every prayer should be for God's glory. We know that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, it talks about there that it might redound to the glory of God, the thanksgiving of the people. We also know in 1 Corinthians 10:31 that whatsoever you eat or whatsoever you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that's one thing that helps us in our prayer life. When we pray, are we praying for the glory of God? I think that'll help you in your prayer life and when you pray for others. I always try to include this. I don't always remember it, but I think it's a healthy thing to remember is the very fact when you pray for people and you pray for yourself, pray this, Lord, and above all else, let your name be glorified. At the end of the day, that's what matters, isn't it? Lord, above all else, as the song says so purely and encouragingly, above all else, let your name be glorified. I believe the Lord will honor that prayer. The glory of God is that ultimate purpose. And then I want us to see here this word forever as we come to the end of the doxology. Forever. Our prayers in the blank in number five, the two blanks there, our prayers make an eternal difference. Our prayers make an eternal difference. They truly do. Would you go over to the book of Romans with me? Romans. You can hold your place there in Matthew chapter 6. And go over to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. Paul says this, "Brethren, my heart's desire and what? Prayer to God for Israel is that what? They might be." All right, so logical conclusion. Paul is praying with the expectation of people getting saved. He's praying for them. And that is his prayer for Israel. Excuse me, that is his prayer for Israel. And that is his prayer for everyone he's ministering to. So what does that teach us, church? And we know this. But listen, your prayers, as you pray daily, as you are praying for your children, as you are praying for yourselves, as you are praying for your coworkers, your classmates, as you are praying for them, I want you to know that those prayers are making an eternal difference. In other words, somebody's eternal course is going to be changed when we pray according to what Jesus is teaching us to pray. Is that awesome? Does that do anything to your heart as you think about the very fact that as I plead, as I pray, as I call out to the Lord on the behalf of one of my friends? I appreciate just talking to Autumn Sick the other day, and she's got a friend of hers on the bus that she's just gotten burned about. His name's Noah. He's lost. He claims to be an atheist, but he talks to her. He talks to her about the Lord, and she has just gotten a huge burden for Noah. And she's praying for him. And as we prayed the other day, right here in the fellowship hall, tears coming down her eyes. And I said, Autumn, listen, God has taken mark of those tears. And he's taken mark of those prayers. And God is working, and He is going to make an eternal difference as we call out to God. You may not see the fruit, but I'm telling you, one day you will. You may not see the fruit on this side, but one day you will. George Mueller, a great man of God, prayed, and boy, he prayed so much things. He had an orphanage. He prayed food in for those kids. They'd be sitting there with not anything on the table. You ought to hear those testimonies. By the way, let me say this. You know, one of the most encouraging things for a Christian to do is to read missionary biographies. It will help you. It will strengthen your faith because it reminds you that God's still on the throne. And if God can do it for him 100 years ago, if God can do it for them a couple thousand years ago, hey, why don't we believe that God can do it today? But George Mueller prayed for one gentleman to be saved, and he never saw it. He died. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was maybe about 10 years after George Mueller was long gone. He was with the Lord 10 years. That gentleman that he'd been praying for came to know Christ. My great-grandmother, who was in glory, she went to glory when I was 12 years old. She went to heaven in 1992. And I believe with all my heart, looking back in my grandmother's belongings, I found Bibles that she signed and wrote to my dad. When my dad was like 10 years old, my great-grandmother signed Bibles, put John 3:16 in there. And my great-grandmother, Grandmother Kirby, and she went to a good Bible-believing church there in the Duncan, South Carolina area. But as I look back now, when I got saved at 21, the more I started processing this, God reminded me. He said, "Son," and I knew this because I knew my grandmother used to tell me this. God assured me my great grandmother Kirby was praying for my salvation. I guarantee it, and I believe she was also praying that God would call me to preach. Well, my grandmother went to heaven in 1992, and you know what? 10 years later, God saved my soul. Hey, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. The effectual fervent prayers, God's power gets behind it. But what is lacking in our hearts, and I'll raise both hands here many times, is the lack of faith. And it's not, I think I can. Would you say, "Dear God, your word says that you got power, Lord, and we are expecting you to show that power. We believe you will. We believe you can. And Lord, above all else, glorify your name through it." The power of God. Listen, don't give up on the power of God in your prayers. Jesus is saying here, that in the prayers, there is the kingdom and sovereignty of God. Remember that. Remember the power of God. Remember the glory of God. Remember that it is making an eternal difference. And then the final amen, and back in our passage in verse number 13, we see here, forever, period, amen, period. That word amen simply means, so let it be, truly. Let it come to pass as you see fit, Almighty God. Amen. This is true. Lord, I accept this as the pattern you have given us to pray, and I believe that you will honor exactly what you've told us you would honor. Amen. And so tonight, as we break up in prayer, let us not forget that. And teenagers, I can't stress this enough. I just want to encourage y'all. Y'all can pray with just as much power as any of these adults. The power of God can be on you. You know, there's no difference except for age. God's just looking for His people to come and take Him at His word. And I believe teenagers can move the hand of God just as easily as an adult. Because it's just whoever takes Him at His word. I tell you, Thomas, he cracks me up. Little Thomas, he's 4. He'll be 5 in November. But man, that boy prays by faith and he doesn't even realize it. Do you know why I know that? He prays and he doesn't even realize it. And I'm not going to correct him because he's praying accurately. But do you know he prays? When he prays as if it already happened. Every time he prays, he'll pray something like this. If Marianne's got an upset stomach or got a headache or something, he'll pray something like this. Lord, thank you that Marianne is healed from her headache. That's the way he prays. He prays in the past tense, like it's already happened. When we're on our way to school in the mornings, we have prayer. Lord, thank you that you gave us a good day at school. Praying by faith, isn't it? You know, we forget to pray that way. Do we believe God's going to answer prayer? Do we believe God's answering prayer even as we pray? May the Lord help us. Let's pray. Father, oh mighty God, we do praise you. Thank you for the things you're teaching us about prayer. Lord, help us to realize that this great ministry of prayer is only going to last a little while. Help us to learn it. Teach us continually to pray and to make an eternal difference, Lord, because we know when we take our last breath, there's no more intercession on our part. It ceases. So would you grow us, Lord? I am praying right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Would you increase this church in their prayer life? Help us, Father, to grow to be a fervent praying church, not just here in this building, but as we go to our homes, as we meet with our children and our families in the living room or kitchen or the bedroom, wherever it may be, Father, help us to be a praying people. And may you be glorified in all that we learn and do. Oh, it's all because of you, Lord. And we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.